W Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden facing criticism from some Democrats for pardoning his son Hunter. ABC's Mary Bruce with more on the decision.
Donald Trump was obviously a factor here. The White House has conceded that the president was concerned that he wasn't going to let up, that the Trump administration would continue to go after Hunter. So given that, of course, just weeks before President-elect Donald Trump, is set to return to the White House, the president clearly not wanting to put his son's fate in the hands of the Trump Justice Department.
And President-elect Trump's choice to run the FBI, Kash Patel, has promised vengeance against Donald Trump's enemies. Winter weather alerts in several states this week. Heavy snow, plunging temperatures in the Great Lakes and the upper Midwest. A 30-year-old Hawaii woman who disappeared last month after missing a connecting flight in Los Angeles is now believed to be in Mexico. Police think she went there voluntarily after expressing interest in stepping away from modern society before her disappearance. This is ABC News. Closing arguments continued today in New York in the trial of Marine veteran Daniel Penny. He is facing manslaughter charges after putting a fellow subway passenger, Jordan Neely, in a chokehold that killed him. Penny says he was just trying to protect other passengers. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
They're saying that while he had Neely by a hold, it was more of a restraint. And there was no evidence that he actually applied pressure, especially in the final 51 seconds where prosecutors say Neely actually died. So they took issue with the idea that the chokehold killed Neely. Rather, the defense has suggested it was a genetic condition, maybe the synthetic marijuana in Neely's system.
Tesla head Elon Musk denied again in his bid for more than $50 billion in a pay package. A Delaware judge upholding her earlier ruling that Musk was awarded the deal in a sham negotiation. It was challenged by a group of Tesla shareholders. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The Todd Alba Show.
Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World.
Another dumb paid millions for a duct-taped banana. You don't get to take home the banana. You're just taking the concept of it.
They sold this for $6.2 million. The guy bought a banana for 35 cents and took a thing of duct tape and put it on a white wall.
It's art, baby.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Mike Clemens.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. WISDEM's chair Ben Wickler makes a run for the DNC. Also, Susan Webb Yackey talks about finding common ground in Wisconsin. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high in the upper 20s. Tonight, steady temperatures, and then tomorrow we'll stay in the low 30s through much of the day. It'll be cloudy with flurries, very windy with falling temperatures late tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night. It'll be windy with falling temperatures through much of the day Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, we discuss how the heck do we evaluate if the Donald Trump 2.0 presidency is a success? I'd like to hear from you, MAGA voters. Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Sunshine in our forecast for a Tuesday morning. Glad we're a part of it. Welcome in, everybody. It's the Midwest Farm Report. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. You know, sunshine can make a big difference in my day. I don't know about you. Doesn't necessarily have to bring a lot of heat, but it does seem to improve attitudes. According to the forecast in front of me, we will see some partly sunny skies today. Looks like daytime highs are going to be right around 29. A little bit of a breeze. Cloudy tonight down to 24. Then tomorrow, scattered snow showers are possible in the afternoon. Otherwise, a sunny Wednesday and 36. Thursday, sunshine and 23. Friday, sunny and 29. Believe it or not, by the time we get into the weekend, temperatures are going to improve considerably. Sunday, they're telling me it could be around 45. We'll see if Stumacher, ag meteorologist, agrees with that forecast. You know, Wisconsin weather is tricky for everybody that lives here. And if you're responsible for taking care of animals, it can get really challenging. Have you ever thought about the proper way to care for chickens at this time of the year? A lot of folks end up with laying hens, and they may not exactly know how to take care of them. Stephanie Hoff caught up with one of our Wisconsin experts on that. Just one of those stories on the way, and we're catching up with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He'll join us live this morning.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up Seed Treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up Seed Treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Shep Farms in Lodi has been a leader in sustainable farming practices for decades. With a focus on rotational grazing, no-till farming, and conservation efforts, the farm has worked tirelessly to protect the land and improve farming methods. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and farm owner Ron Shep shares how his family's longstanding commitment to innovation and stewardship has not only benefited their farm, but also inspired fellow farmers across the region.
The history is my dad moved there with his parents in 1949. I guess we rotationally graze dairy heifers, a few beef animals, a lot of row crops, a lot of alfalfa, and some wheat and some cover crops. And we've been no-tilling since 1991 and cover crops since the mid-90s, rotationally grazing since the late 90s. Planting green since like 2017 or 18, I think we started. So a lot of conservation stuff, and it might be just because we're on Lake Wisconsin.
And what are some of the biggest benefits that you've seen now since you've implemented no-till and this rotational grazing practices over the past, 30 plus years that you guys have been doing this?
Well, first of all, you keep your soil where it belongs, not in the water, not in the Gulf or any of that. Same with the nutrients. It's important to keep those where they belong. If you put too much on in a certain spot and you have issues, that's the thing. And also the climate resilience. Like I said, in 2012 there, when the crop insurance guy said we were the first farm that wouldn't have gotten paid back more than we paid in for crop insurance premiums, that was a huge bonus, right? Because we did very well in that drought year. This year, you saw in some of those videos about the news clip about how well we can hold the soil and manage the heavy water. Same deal. We can deal with the extremes much better. That's one of the big benefits, is being able to be climate resilient or whatever you want to call it. But we can handle extremes from both sides.
And it's also had quite an impact on your crop residue and your organic matter, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't track the organic matter. I should probably, but I don't. But it definitely makes a difference. And the earthworms are huge in that. They break down that crop residue and put nutrients back in the soil. They also bring up good things in worm castings that's on top of the soil. And we've been doing that for 30 years. You definitely see more of the A zone, A horizon, I guess they call it, right? And we're definitely building soil instead of losing soil.
You mentioned hosting these tours, both virtual and in person, are important to your family to help educate others in these research studies you guys have been a part of. Tell me, what kind of impact have these had on other farmers that you've seen by being able to kind of share what you're doing with them?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I've been asked this before about how many acres do you think you've influenced. I was invited down to St. Louis to the Conservation Champions with another farmer and someone from DATCAP, and on the way back, she asked how many acres we thought we influence in a year, and I said, you have no idea, because people will come up to you years later and say, hey, I listened to you talk and whatever. But the coolest part, and what I'm glad you asked that question, is 3 years ago there was a farm family north of us, and I asked them why they changed their practices, and the dad said, well, we listened to you guys talk somewhere, and he said, all the way home, my son and I talked about this. And he said, that's what started us. Kind of a cool story. But the cooler part of that story is, I have since seen both the father and the son present at conferences and workshops. And so, you know, they learn from us. Now they're teaching others. That is the coolest thing, when you see someone else passing that on.
Can you touch now a little bit more on some of those research studies that you guys have been involved in? How has those helped advance your conservation and just other conservation in agriculture in general? Because obviously that data is helping the long run.
Yeah, so we've been doing that already. In fact, I told San County when they came to do that research study, they wanted to give us a stipend or something. And I said, why would you give me any money? I'm doing exactly what I've been doing. But the videos they've put out, the field days they've had, keeps passing it on, keeps teaching someone else. And I always say, I hope every time we have a field day, or I hope we can change a few farmers' practices. And that's our payment, is when you get other people doing that practice. And so all these things that they're putting out, like you said, the data that they're putting out, and I hate financial stuff. I hate numbers. I hate paperwork. But when they stand passing that out and people see that, that's the huge benefit, is getting others to just see it and maybe change their practice a little bit. And it might be a little bit at a time. I don't care. You can do it very small. You can do it on the back 40 or the back 4. I don't care. But you have to start. You have to get going with it.
Generally, when you think rotational grazing, you're moving these cattle from pasture to pasture and their water supply comes with them. But yours is a little different. So take us through how that works for you.
So we do not have water in our paddocks, and I know a lot of people think that's criminal, but in 2012 we had a major drought. One of the first days it was 105 degrees. I let a group of 125 animals into the yard, and they ate their grain, and they drank, there was 2 1,000-gallon tanks in the yard. They drank them dry, and then I squirted them with a lawn sprinkle a little bit just to cool them down a little bit. I let them out under a row of shade trees, no water, just the shade, for about 2.5 hours, and I let them back through the yard, figuring they would drink these 2 1,000-gallon tanks empty again. 5 head out of 125 head stopped to take a drink. The others were all standing by the gate going, why is this gate closed? And I couldn't chase them back to the water tank. I said I would not have believed that if I didn't see it. So I opened the gate, let them out, of course. I was still very worried that year about the heat, if we were going to have possible conception loss because of not having water out there. Got to the fall, we preg checked, we lost 1% of conception. So I have no idea why I would ever put water back in the paddocks. But one of the other things is, had a relief breeder out at our sock pasture one time, and he said, not a regular breeder, and he said, I hate breeding heifers on pasture. And I said, dude, what are you talking about? These things are as calm as can be. He said, nah, that's not it. He said, they don't settle worth a crap. And I said, what? And he said, well, they stand out there by that water tank and they bake themselves. And I went, huh, ours aren't doing that because we don't have water in the paddocks. And when we used to have it so that they could come in and get water, they would lay up there in what I call poop soup and, you know, not be drinking, not be eating. And so when we started locking them out there, we got much more utilization out of the pasture, much better manure spreading around because of locking them out there. And like I said, when we don't have an issue with conception, the cattle look great, we got happy lines all over the place, why would I go back to having water in the paddocks?
It's kind of like a bog, correct?
Yes, so the one out at the Sauk pasture is a bog. It's a very low area, marshy area. When we started renting that, there was hummocks everywhere and mud everywhere else. And I said one of the good things about that was the cows never had to put their head down to eat because they were stuck in the mud so much they would just go eat off the top of the hummocks and never had to put their head down. But we changed it to a 60-day rotation, and now all of that was mud is now grass. And we've increased the yield out there somewhere between 3 and 4 times. And so just by doing the different management, it's amazing how much difference it makes. And the bog you referred to is there's water underneath all of this soil. And so when the cattle come running out, you can feel the ground move. I've never felt an earthquake personally, but I got to believe it's very similar to what it feels like because the ground literally moves everywhere. And I've had a lot of people out there that did not believe this was going to happen. They're like, oh, you're nuts, you know. And then when you cattle come out, their eyes get the size of softballs because they're like, oh, my gosh, what is happening here? This is so cool. And so, yeah, it's on a bog or a marsh, and just the management change of what some people call mob grazing, some people call it high density, some people call it adaptive, it's made a huge, huge difference.
And what advice would you give to other farmers who are looking to implement some of these same practices on their farms?
I'm glad you asked that question also. Lauren Steinlag is from Iowa, and he's very involved and very huge into the soil health stuff, way better known name. And he said at a meeting, was at in January, he said, I get upset when people come and think they can just use their wallet to get where I'm at. He said, you can't just take out your wallet and get your soil to get where I'm at. And I agree with him on that 100%. But there's one thing you have to do to get to where we're at. You have to start. You have to start something. You have to do, like I said earlier, I don't care if it's the back 40 or the back 4. You have to start this. You have to have an aha moment on your own land to get to where we're at, to get to the resiliency that we're at and all the huge benefits of all of it. You have to just start.
What are your future plans for the farm? Any more conservation practices? Anything new, goals that you're working towards?
Yeah, interseeding cover crops into corn to get it to grow so that when we graze those crop residues in the fall, the corn stalks, I would love something green to be there. And we've tried a little bit, but honestly do too much of this speaking and talking and all those other things. Sometimes there's just too much going on to do that. But that's one of the things I'd love to get implemented on our farm, is that to get cover crops growing between the corn so that when the corn is dying off in the fall, these cover crops would grow up. And then it's a full meal for the cattle, where now when we graze that crop residue, the corn stalks, we generally roll a bale of hay out or alfalfa out in the field so that they get some alfalfa and then some corn stalks. And so if I could have something green growing there, I get to save that much more hay.
That's Ron Shep, owner of Shep Farms, along with us. While Ron has long believed in what he is doing, he says he looks forward to having data that shows the positive effects of grazing cattle on cover crops that will hopefully convince other farmers to do the same. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW, The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home.
Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, we're live from our Oshkosh studio with Dale Anderson of the Military Veterans Museum.
Plus, we'll hang out with Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh. Man, I hope we make it on time.
Me too.
Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
New York and areas like that. Honestly, Stu, a farm broadcast buddy of mine lost a family member, and the funeral is today in upstate New York. And honestly, just trying to get there was logistically almost a nightmare, and a lot of it had to do with the snow.
Yeah, snow and the winds that go with it. I mean, we hear about it there in upstate New York, that area. The UP of Michigan and the western parts of lower Michigan have been getting it for days. Vilas County, Wisconsin, they may talk about somewhere of 4 to 6 inches of snow again today into tomorrow.
Well, that's inches. Those poor folks up in upstate New York are talking feet. I can't even fathom how a weather system can be that robust to generate, 4+ feet of snow in really 24 hours time.
Right. Well, it's got a lot to do with lake moisture and cold air over a lake that's not frozen over yet. And they're just in for it. We don't make light of it, but those folks do expect that it's going to be there at this time of the year.
Good point. I do expect snow, but I'm not seeing much of it in our forecast.
No, not a lot in the forecast right now, except for the fact that we do see an Alberta Clipper that is going to try and move on in. Nothing out there today. High pressure's kind of settled down to our south around southern Iowa, northern Missouri. That high has really done the job of keeping things pretty quiet overnight and not all that cold. Temperatures this morning aren't all that cold. Not really far from normal nighttime lows. That's not hard to tolerate, but the Clipper will begin to move in from the northwest. There's a wavy front through the western Dakotas, Nebraska, and Kansas this morning. No real precipitation around that boundary. There's just a little light snow in far northwest Minnesota and up into Canada. Expect that Clipper will dive in, and with it, winds will become southwest even later today. That southwest wind keeping temperatures more mild overnight, warming it into tomorrow. But then a little snow as the Clipper moves through later tomorrow, and then cold air Wednesday night and Thursday night, some really cold temperatures going to try to settle in. We'll have the forecast details after this.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Alrighty, Stu, let's have those forecast details.
All right, let's look for more sunshine today. That sounds wonderful. Maybe partly sunny in some areas, a few more clouds. but not bad. Heading up into the 20s, even a 30 in southern Wisconsin. West and southwest winds today about 5 to 15. Sounds comfortable. Becoming mostly cloudy overnight. Low 20s, maybe upper teens in the north. The southwest winds 5 to 15. Maybe some gusts to 30 already later tonight. Tomorrow's the day with a clipper. Partly sunny, windy. Scattered snow showers, even in the morning in the northwest, later in the day further east and southeast. Temperatures warming up, could push into the mid-30s in some areas, already falling, though, in the afternoon in the northwest. Southwest winds could gust near 30 and 40 tomorrow. And then sunny, windy, cooler Thursday, upper teens north, low 20s south, Pam. Northwest winds up to 20 and 25. Oh. Nighttime lows down to the single digits Wednesday night and Thursday night. Wind chills even below zero Wednesday night.
Oh, my goodness. Stumach, our ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden facing criticism from some Democrats for pardoning his son Hunter. ABC's Mary Bruce with more on the decision.
Donald Trump was obviously a factor here. The White House has conceded that the president was concerned that he wasn't going to let up, that the Trump administration would continue to go after Hunter. So given that, of course, just weeks before President-elect Donald Trump, is set to return to the White House, the president clearly not wanting to put his son's fate in the hands of the Trump Justice Department.
And President-elect Trump's choice to run the FBI, Kash Patel, has promised vengeance against Donald Trump's enemies. Winter weather alerts in several states this week. Heavy snow, plunging temperatures in the Great Lakes and the upper Midwest. A 30-year-old Hawaii woman who disappeared last month after missing a connecting flight in Los Angeles is now believed to be in Mexico. Police think she went there voluntarily after expressing interest in stepping away from modern society before her disappearance. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Badgers go up in the rankings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, Wisconsin has gone up a couple of more spots in the AP Top 25 poll, now ranked 11th in the nation. Tonight, the Badgers host the Michigan Wolverines at the Kohl Center. The Bucks are in Detroit to take on the Pistons for an NBA Cup game. Both teams 3-0 in tournament play. NFL, Packers defensive back Jair Alexander working out with the team, trying to come back from that PCL injury to his right knee. They play the Lions this Thursday night. Matt LaFleur on the next step.
That's why it's important. The practice is so important. We got to see it before we go down that road.
The Packers are 9-3, the Lions 11-1, and in first place in the NFC North Division.
Once you hit December, it's hard not to start to begin to look up a little bit. Like, you can start to smell the playoffs a little bit. You can start to see what's out in front of you, what's at stake. You know you're well within the race. I mean, this is why you're in this business.
That's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV's Mike Toomey, who will discuss his 10th annual Christmas special in Southeast Wisconsin. Then Nightlight frequent flyer Frank Anderson joins the show to tell Christmas ghost stories.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high in the upper 20s. Tonight, steady temperatures, and then tomorrow we'll stay in the low 30s through much of the day. It'll be cloudy with flurries, very windy with falling temperatures late tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night. It'll be windy with falling temperatures through much of the day Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World.
Another dumb paid millions for a duct-taped banana. You don't get to take home the banana. You're just taking the concept of it.
They sold this for $6.2 million. The guy bought a banana for 35 cents and took a thing of duct tape and put it on a white wall.
It's art, baby.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
20-plus guys.
You know, the good news I bring to you on a Tuesday morning, our markets look like they're improving a little bit as far as corn, beans, and wheat. But why? And for how long? Good news is we've got John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us to answer those questions and any that you might have on a Tuesday morning. Remember, you want to chat with me, you want questions posed to John, best way to bring them to us is our talk text line. That's always open to you, 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back. I'm Pam Yonke. On this, the third day of December, let's see, on this day back in 1947, the very first television station in Wisconsin signed on. Where was it? Can you remember? WTMJ TV in Milwaukee, broadcast on this day back in 1947. That was the 17th television station in the country. And it was the first in the Midwest on this day back in 1947. And happy birthday today to actress Julianne Moore. She is 64. And actor Brendan Fraser. He turns 56 today. And now you know. But do you know how to take care of your animals when Wisconsin winter shows up? I'm not talking about our livestock, our farmers. We talk about that every day here on the Midwest Farm Report, how farmers are taking care of their livestock and using new technology to do it. But what about the livestock that is exposed to the elements and depends on you? Cats and dogs, of course. But then there's chickens. A lot of people have decided to invest time and money in chickens. Now, some might have been grown this summer and are already in the freezer as food for the family. Others might still be there, maybe providing you with eggs. When Wisconsin winter gets nasty, how do you protect those chickens? Well, Stephanie Hoff found out.
During the pandemic, people really took to having backyard birds, and having chickens and eggs right outside has held on to its popularity. But if you're a newbie with hens, there are some things you need to know about how to prepare those birds for a Wisconsin winter. Ron Keene joins us in studio. He's our UW Extension poultry specialist. He has the details.
You know, obviously the cold temperatures are not ideal for chickens, and I think our first gut reaction is we should seal everything up tight, right, and make it airtight. But you have to be careful with that because we do still need ventilation. We need to get rid of, stale air and also a lot of moisture. If it gets damp, that can be pretty unhealthy, so we do need to ventilate. So, yes, close things up, but not completely airtight.
What are the common diseases for a chicken that they tend to pick up in the colder months?
You know, a lot of those are viral or bacterial, so not necessarily direct to the cold, but the stress can make them more susceptible. If it really gets damp, ammonia can be a problem, and that can cause some issues for the hens. There's almost no medications that are available now without a veterinary prescription, and so it's a challenge. I don't know that there's any, I would say, just to get in advance.
Should we be adjusting feed rations for the winter months?
I think somewhat depends on the temperature you can get in the coop. And that kind of brings up a question that is hotly debated as to whether we should provide heat for the flocks or not. I tend to be in favor of having some heat, especially for, you know, an urban situation where you have four or five or six hens. They can survive the cold, but I'm not sure that that's what we really want to strive for, is survival. I think if you can help with some heat, it will help. One common method that will help is to what we call deep litter bedding. And so you can let the shavings kind of pile up, and that will help insulate the birds, and they can kind of get some heat from that. Now, getting back to the feed, if you don't have heat, they're going to eat a lot more feed because they're going to have to produce that heat. And so that's one reason I like the heat, is we can cut back on some of the feed cost. I probably wouldn't change the ration. Most people will buy a commercial ration, and it probably won't change.
Are there pests to watch out for?
Yeah. External parasites, mites and lice, are probably the biggest concern. And probably a big thing to help there is keeping rodents and wild birds out of the house. And that can be a challenge. Again, especially if you've got it warmer in there, they would like to move in. They're also looking for feed supply. So screening things, closing up holes so that the rodents and the wild birds can't get in is really probably the best thing for parasite prevention.
Everything you need to know and then some about how to care for those backyard chickens this winter. Ron Keen is our extension poultry specialist. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now is the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
We're headed to Spain and Portugal on our next adventure, and I'm excited. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to join me on our Ranches and Royal Palaces tour, April 5th through the 17th. We'll take in fascinating history, visit vibrant cities, and of course, learn more about their rich agriculture. We'll start in Portugal's capital city of Lisbon, where we'll take a look at all their architectural details, learn about their history, and also learn about their horses, as well as witness the process of creating cork. In Spain, we'll visit an Iberian pig farm, also an olive grove, where we'll do some tasting. The journey concludes by exploring the city of Madrid and enjoying a traditional flamenco show. Go to holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel show. Or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure. April 5th through the 17th, join us on our Ranches and Royal Palaces tour of Portugal and Spain.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now is the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
If you're headed to Wisconsin Dells today, the Midwest Food Processor Association's annual convention is getting started at the Kalahari Resort. Our own Ben Jarbo is going to be up there today learning about some of the innovative ways that we're looking at improving sweet corn flavor, how we control weeds in vegetable crops with technology like lasers. Talking also about what we're doing with autonomous vehicles in agriculture to try to overcome labor shortages. Those are some of the topics at the Midwest Food Processors Annual Conference today through Thursday at the Kalahari Resort. And our own Ben Jarbo will be hunting down all those stories. And they'll get out of the way just in time for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation to move in on Friday for their Young Farmer and Agriculturalist Conference, followed up by their annual business meeting and convention
again, at the Kalahari Resort. So the Midwest Farm team is on the move. Always want to remind you, follow us on social media if you want to see what we're up to. Midwest Farm Report on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, Instagram. We do our best to make sure you see the fun and information we're gathering while we're out. John Heinberg on the way, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. This morning, at least, he gets a chance to talk about more positive numbers in Chicago. In overnight electronic trade this morning, March corn's up nearly 2 at 434 a bushel. The January soybeans are up 6 at 991. The March wheat is up 6 at 553, with July new crop wheat currently 6 cents stronger at 567. Dairy has been very quiet. Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday at 160.5. 40-pound block cheese, that was down a half, 163.75. Double A butter, that was up a quarter of a cent, 249.5. Today, the December Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 6 at 1857. The January milk up 13, 1835 a hundredweight. What's happening in the marketplace? We're going to find out about that next. John Heinberg joining us in just moments.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. December 1st, President Joe Biden pardoned his son Hunter, convicted on federal gun and drug charges. President-elect Trump recently nominated Charles Kushner, whom Trump pardoned for tax evasion and witness tampering, to become ambassador to France. How did presidential pardons evolve, and what are their limitations? Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution gives the president the authority to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. Proposed by Alexander Hamilton, the Constitutional Convention debated whether the president could unilaterally pardon or whether approval was needed by the Senate. The U.S. Supreme Court later interpreted Section 2 as unilateral with broad powers but limited to federal offenses. Among the most controversial are President Andrew Johnson's pardon of Confederate President Jefferson Davis, and in recent times, President Gerald Ford's pardon of President Richard Nixon, both citing the need for reconciliation. Ballotpedia, using DOJ statistics, calculates there were 21,130 pardons and commutations from 1902 to 2024. Biden has now issued 26 pardons and clemencies, not including blanket clemency to 6,500 Americans convicted of simple marijuana possession. Trump pardoned 143 and gave clemency to 94 others. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Luke Mathers joins us for some Tuesday tangents with Luke and also a What's Worse. Be here.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Total Farm Marketing crew out of West Bend, John Heinberg, market advisor, is joining us live this morning. I always want to remind you about their website, totalfarmmarketing.com, as well as their toll-free number if you ever want to talk about strategy with John. He's available, 800-334-9779. Let's get to that. John, let's talk a little bit about the bounce we're seeing this morning in corn, beans, and wheat. Nice to see. Don't know how long it'll last. What's driving it?
No, it's a little bit of seasonal time frame here in that regard. It's just, you know, the Christmas rally mentality sometimes hits the markets, and that's something we see in the grains here in this window. Now, we'll see if it has some legs. Now, corn's been moving very nicely. We had first notice day last week around Thanksgiving there, right after Thanksgiving. All those basis contracts and things had to be dealt with right before Thanksgiving. That typically brings some selling pressure. We usually see the market bounce off of those types of events. We saw that back in November end of October for the November beans. Now we're seeing the same type of little bounce here for December corn after those basis contracts went through. So we'll have to see where things go here for the next few days. Unfortunately, my targets aren't very high. You know, if we can get March somewhere back in that 450 window is kind of where I'm hoping we can get to, but we got a lot of work to do to get there. But that should provide some opportunities for producers, again, to go ahead and continue to make sales on rallies here. You know, we got still a heavy supply out there. The demand is good, and that's the biggest thing that's really helping, you know, turn prices off the lows since back in that August low that we placed here in the corn market. So we need to continue to see how that plays out. Next week, we'll start thinking about the USDA numbers coming at us. Does the USDA finally make some demand adjustments? We think they're coming on that December report here on the 10th. I do think the market's already priced a lot of that in, and it's mind that we're truly not at a 1.94 billion bushel carryover, and the market may be trading already a lower value.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report this Tuesday morning. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com, 800-334-9779. I know that we want to talk a little bit more about 2025, John, but already getting a lot of, you know, real bearish reports. I was just reading an article about how Cargill, which is really the largest food ingredient kind of middleman for not just the United States, but the globe, planning to lay off about 8,000 of their workers. That might be a sign of things to come. How are we forecasting 2025? And what news items are you paying attention to, John?
Well, obviously, we got a couple big things on the radar, and you continue to hear stories like that from Cargill and other agricultural companies, which kind of already tells me that the agricultural sector may be already dealing in a recession type economy because of just the way the commodity prices have acted, and that's, you know, a bigger issue down the road. You know, but things for producers that really are focused on, obviously, the market's got right in front of us what's happening after we get inauguration and in the first, you know, 100 days of the Trump presidency. The tariffs, the chatter regarding tariffs is a daily thing in the news wires right now. I do think that's keeping the market somewhat subdued here, just waiting for what the reactions are going to be to that. It's not so much the implication of the new tariffs coming on board or the additional pressure in that, you know, trade side of things. It's going to be what's going to be the reaction from other countries in terms of how that's going to affect grain flow as well as any other product flow. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that. For producers right now, too, the biggest thing we're talking about is what's happening with that South American supply for both corn and soybeans. Obviously, soybeans being the front runner. You're looking at November beans today, you know, back down to the $10 level for next year. We broke under $10 for November 25 for a tick or two yesterday. There's just not a lot of meat on the bone out there right now in that regard. So that's going to lead us to a pretty interesting discussion about acres. One of my big fears right now for the corn market is that those acre numbers really jump up just because of the lack of profitability in soybeans. And some of the issues we're talking about global supplies here for soybeans could turn into an issue for corn if we wind up putting in a 94, 95 million acre corn crop next year and then throw some good weather on top of that, adding that to that national supply.
Well, but we also have a tremendous carryover on corn. I mean, that's the other thing that's hurting us right now. So to your point, you're not necessarily winning either way on acres.
Very much so. But, you know, it still comes down to, a lot of times talking to producers, if push comes to shove, they'll plant corn and in that regard and be able to work with that product a little bit more. You know, so that is that concerning point there. You know, so for me, for producers, talking about these 25 and where we are for corn prices, we're 432 today, and that doesn't work on the balance sheet for most people already in that regard. So, but if you get rallies into it, you know, we need to get some sales going, get some puts bought, protect what value we get there. I am working on some call strategies now for guys to target to sell into if we get a lift back into the 450 zone. You know, last year we started the year off very, very poor in terms of both corn and soybean prices. We were down 20 cents on corn in the first two trading days, 40 cents on bean in the first two trading days of 24. A little fearful that could be the same situation this year just because of the supply, which is larger than it was last year in that time frame.
Yeah, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend along with us. So let's talk just a little bit more about that strategy then. You know, when it's hard to decide when the puts, the calls, is there a sweet spot on the calendar, John, that is historically worked out for producers?
you know, the seasonality's changed so much now because of this, the global production and the competition we're getting from South America. What worked 10 years ago doesn't work anymore sometimes just because of the way the supply flows. You know, so to me, it's all about just finding value and locking it in. You know, if we do get corn back to 450 for next year, I'm going to be putting floors underneath that here by the end of the year and just making sure we got some coverage. I'd rather be wrong with coverage being a little light, little low versus and leave the upside open versus not having anything in at all. So those are things at least we can start building some base and then we can add to it over time. You know, so it comes down to making sure you know your numbers and you got things that work for you. You got to find a way to take care of that risk side of the factor and being aggressive in the marketplace using the tools that we offer.
You think we've got a lot of grain stored on farms or in elevators waiting for that?
It seems to be that way from talking to producers. We've got a lot of storage got built over the last handful of years, and it's sitting in those bins waiting for an opportunity to move out. And the only fear is hope we get that we won't get that opportunity that the way producers want it.
Yeah, that is the unfortunate part about that. All right, John, we'll catch up with you next week, buddy. Appreciate the information.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg joining us live this morning from West Bend. He's part of the Total Farm Marketing team. Find him online, totalfarmmarketing.com. Give him a call if you'd like to talk strategy. That's 800-334-9779. All right, folks, have a great Tuesday. Catch up with you tomorrow, same time.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
If farmers are being asked to be more sustainable, they need assurance it will pay off. That's next on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
If we want farmers to operate sustainably, we can't forget that economics plays into that. At a panel at the recent Grow New York competition, Mike Crayer of Crayer Family Farms in Clarence, New York, said investments in sustainability have to pencil out.
The challenge is when the margin on beets and carrots is so small, and you've just used a huge amount of money to purchase an implement, and it's just one of the many implements that you're using to manage that crop. The payoff takes an extraordinarily long time for that.
Carly Miller Hornick, an organic farmer from Cortland, New York, says profit margins have shrunk.
When we started in organic farming, it was special, and people were willing to pay a premium 10 years ago. But now when the Walmarts and the Aldis of the world are able to offer organic produce at a value price, it's very hard for us to compete.
Back to Mike Crayer, who says crop marketing needs some new ideas.
Innovation is great from a technological perspective, and it's necessary. But where we really need to see innovation as well is in, from a marketing business perspective, how are we selling the crop that we're producing at a higher price to whatever our market might be so that we can increase our margins and be a more sustainable business.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. WISDEM's chair, Ben Wickler, makes a run for the DNC. Also, Susan Webb Yackey talks about finding common ground in Wisconsin. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.